Hi, I'm Jimmy Wong.
And I'm Josh Lee Kwai.
And we are the hosts of The Command Zone, a Magic the Gathering podcast.
It's your weekly source for everything concerning the game's most popular format, Commander.
Whether you want to discover the perfect old card that you've never seen before, or find out about the hottest tech from the latest set, we've got your back.
Plus, we help you develop the most important skills for multiplayer Magic. We're talking strategy and tactics, proper sequencing, threat assessment, politics, you name it, we dive deep on it.
So why don't you hit pause on the podcast you're listening to right now and go subscribe to The Command Zone for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
We promise you won't regret it.
Well, you won't, but your opponents might.
Yeah, good point.
Welcome to another episode of The League, brought to you by Dead End Sports in conjunction with Dead End Gaming. I am your host, FIFA 24/7. I got the AKA man to my left.
What's going on? It's your boy Nikki Duce, aka it's your boy, aka Mr. Madden, aka I'm about to run the league. You know what I'm saying?
What the?
All right, kid. You already know the shit talk is starting.
Okay.
Today.
Look, wait. Hold on. And directly across from me, I got Mr. Dead End Everything.
Hey. I'm here again.
This week. We're recording a little bit later, so there are a little bit more games that we are going to recap. With that being said, I can't even front. I be forgetting where the hell we left off on the last time.
Yeah,
that we recorded.
We were
literally in the first 4 weeks talking about that.
So
we probably ended on week four.
Yeah, because I was talking about I didn't have any user games, and those are the games coming up.
Yeah.
I bet. So with that being said, I think we fast forwarded from like week four to now we're like week
nine.
Yeah.
So that shit happened really fucking fast. With that being said, I got the majority of my user games out the way. First person I played was Ken. Then I had the Ravens. Then I had the bye week, and then I have the Chiefs. And then my next user game will be all the way down in week 16 against the Ravens again. So, I take that back. I had the Titans, and then I had the Lions, then I had the Ravens, then I had a bye week, and then I had the Chiefs. Okay, we're going to recap all of that.
All these users, and it's changing the league, man.
We mentioned that we added users.
We mentioned that on the last episode, but now we're seeing that play out.
We added more since then.
There's one more that's pending.
Who?
He was supposed to take over, not the Saints, but...
Oh, damn, the NFC South about to be.
You talking about the Panthers?
Nah, it wasn't the Panthers. It was some other team he was looking at. Maybe it was Washington. Maybe it was the football team.
Okay.
But it was one pending.
Either way, Ken, what were the games that, you know, just catching the people up? Mm. What were the games from where we left off to where we are now? How many user games did you have
My schedule feels like it's all users. So I played you. Mm-hmm. I played the Niners. And then I had a computer. So I had two computers and two users.
Okay. What about you, Nick?
I only had one within that span. That was with the Titans, my division rival.
Okay, bet. So that's where we'll start. We'll start with the Titans. I played the Titans. That game got off to a very rocky start for me. We'll just go one by one instead of recapping the entire week. We'll just go through our user games. But starting off with the Titans, that game started really rocky for me. He had me 21-7 in the first quarter. I threw an interception, and I also had a fumble. It was a very short field. I think he got both of those within the 20, so he scored both times. However, I feel that, and again, no disrespect, I feel that the Titans' offense is a little limited, and you could kind of pick up on what they want to do. I feel that my run defense is one of the best in the league. I'm not going to say the best because the Ravens showed me that again. But I do feel I have one of the better run defenses, and I was able to shut him down. So he scored at the end of the first half. I want to say the score was 28-14 going into halftime.
Because you got that bomb to OBJ.
To Andy Isabella before the end of the half.
Okay.
Yep. And then I scored, and it was 28-14, and I wound up winning the game 34-28. So in the second half, I was able to shut it down and not give up any more points. Derrick Henry had a decent game, but I feel like I was able to shut him down minus the two big runs, three big runs that he had. But everything else was 1 or 3 yard gains here and there. But I was able to shut that down in that second half and just turn that game around. But what happened in that game made me realize that I'm having a little bit of a turnover bug, and I got to fix that.
I told y'all about these turnovers.
Yeah, if I'm gonna win, so it is what it is. But that was my Titan experience. What was your Titan experience?
My Titan experience was very similar, except I didn't end up with a dub like you did. Mm. That was a good comeback. I saw this more so the second half of y'all game. My game. Fumbles, man. Mm. I told y'all these niggas be fumbling. I think I came out here early. I was like, bro, these niggas fumbles. Y'all was like, man, what you talking about? Man, my running back, Marlon Mack, who I've hardly ever seen him fumble. Mm-hmm. Fumbled twice in the first half. Once in the first half and early in the third quarter or the second half. And that pretty much was the game because it was like 7-7 for the most part. It went up 14-7 when the fumble mm-hmm. started happening. And then he went up 21-7, and that whole time I was just trying to come back. And I think the closest it got was when he threw an interception, and it was 10-24, I believe. And I could have made a drive to kind of, get myself back in there, but that second fumble was because he was right within 50 yards of my end zone. So the run game, the thing that I noticed, though, outside of the fumbles, it was still a close game. He's definitely not unbeatable, as what you've proven, FIFO. Mm-hmm. You just have to stay put and just stop that run game. Because yeah. He's kind of taken a page out of the Ravens' book as far as that, I like this stretch play, and I'm going to mm-hmm. keep doing it until you stop mm-hmm. it. His passing game is gotten a little bit better from what I last remember, but it's still very
it's limited.
It's very easy to read out. Like, he's going to do a slant. He's going to mm-hmm. try to hit you with the tight end.
With the screen he'll get to you, the left.
Mm-hmm. He'll definitely, if he's in the red zone, he's going to do that slant play where the tight end is going to basically do a short dig just so he can get an easy touchdown. But if you can read on it, you can probably pick it off. But nonetheless, I like learning more about him. I hate that I got the loss because now that puts more pressure when we meet up in week 16 because mm-hmm. that probably will decide the division. But I have a slew of user games coming up. I don't know if y'all checked out my schedule.
No, I haven't.
My second half, basically the last like six games is all user.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be tough for you. So, Ken, what was what was your next up user game that you had?
Did I talk about – I talked about M Extra.
Yeah, you did. Okay. That was on the last one.
Yeah, I'm checking out my – I think I played the computer and ended up losing that shit, and then I played you.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
I'm hosting. Hey, Ken, you know the nigga by now. He go, you give him an inch, he gonna take him out. You see how he be talking about he hosted. Nigga, you only inquisitive by your wins, nigga. We see the shit.
I am not. I asked you about your Titan.
You see
experience?
That slight that he did for me?
Yeah.
He did. He was like, that's going to be tough for you, nigga.
Yeah. So how did your Titan experience go? I know how mine went.
Oh, man.
Was yours as good as mine?
Oh, man.
Nah, it didn't. It went far better than expected. Because, I didn't know how we were going to match up defensively. And I know people look at the final score, and I think we held up for a good while in that game. We got out of position in one or two spots. I think in the fourth quarter, or was it the third quarter, Journey took one to the right. Mm-hmm. And my linebackers got out of position. He cut through the middle. And I think one of my guys got stuck and he was gone at that point. And then it was another one where, cause it was like 13-7, something like that,
mm-hmm.
going into halftime. And FIFO is aggressive. FIFO is aggressive. So I was like, okay, not bad, not bad. I knew the thing that frustrated was that I couldn't generate the offense I needed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to get stops. I was able to slow him down, even though he was playing fast. And I seen the fluctuations in his style, too. So he also put his foot on the gas, and he'll pull it back, too. Yep. So you have to be, and I'll talk about this later, but, discipline in what you're going to do and not overreact to any big play. Because he hit one on me Christian Kirk. And my guys, the secondary was holding up, and he hit Christian Kirk, but my guy was there. He just didn't make the play. I was like, okay. And I think – I don't know if you could hear me, but I was like, he was there. And like, yeah. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Because I my feel of what you do is you use the pass to set up the run. So I was like, can my secondary hold up, and then I can try to take care of the rest. But turnovers, we just talked about it, turnovers. Yep. Because I got an interception. Mm-hmm. And I was in the red zone, and Michael Cunningham, I drove to the left because what I wanted to do against you was pass more. I need to pass more with Cunningham. And the motherfucker got hit. He dropped the goddamn ball. And I was like, man.
That happened to me in my last game.
What the fuck is going on? So I'm just cussing.
Mm-hmm. So remember, we me and Ken agreed to do like a headset game just so we could talk to each other. But for some reason, when I was using my headset, I could hear him, but he couldn't hear me. So I was like, fuck. And then I was going about to post my game on in the league chat, mm-hmm. To post the Twitch. But I started twitching, and then you beat me to it. So I was like, fuck, I'm not going to post it because what's the point of having two? So I was not watching you, but I had it in the background so I could hear you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it was a very funny experience because anytime I did something, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm about to fuck him up this time. And then, damn, he fucking got that. Yo, I ain't gonna lie. That was probably one of the most fun experiences I had playing Madden, just because I could hear your delayed reaction. Because like in my head, I'm like, yeah, I'm about to do this. I think he's gonna do that. And then just to hear your reaction to that, it was just fucking.
Yeah,
hilarious.
It was fun because I felt like there was still like I'm kind of also playing that chess match you were talking to. So I know what you do. You know what I'm gonna do. But now like the defense is different. So I've kind of found my defense now. Yep. But I still don't know how it's going to hold up against high-octane offensive. So I think I had like three turnovers. I threw two interceptions, and then I had a fumble in bad spots. Mm-hmm. And then it was another one that happened that pissed me off. Something else happened that pissed me off too. Oh, when you had that big run, because I was talking shit too.
Yep, he was.
Because I was like, I'm going to put him out the game, people.
Yep, yep, yep.
And then he kept going for it on fourth down. Yep. But I was like, you keep going, I'm going to put this motherfucker out the game. And I think I said that he went for it. I think you scored that run on a fourth down. And then he was out. And then that's the only time I heard FIFO. That's the only time. So I think maybe your volume was low. Because you yelled. When you scored on that touchdown, mm-hmm. you yelled to say you were talking shit. Mm. That was the only time I heard you.
Okay.
That I could hear you. But okay. It was fun.
Yeah, from my perspective, man, Ken is – you could tell he's an OG Madden player, bro. Because he is – stick to the basics type of Madden player, meaning like can you get his emotions up and down? Of course, it's a fucking game, right? But at the same time, on the field, the way he calls the game, he shows no emotion. You know what I'm saying? And that's weird, but that's just the style of GM and head coach that you are in Madden. So I know regardless of whatever the score is, I'm not going to really take you out of what you want to do. And you've taught me that the hard fucking way. You know what I'm saying? Because I think we've played three or four times since we've been in this Madden thing.
Time, yep.
And you beat me the first time, I beat you the second time, and then I beat you this time. But I would say if you just are devoid of talent on this roster. You know what I'm saying? Because there's not many defenses that were able to do what you did, and it was just keep me at bay. You gave me the short stuff. You gave me the short runs. Yeah, I got you a couple of times, but it's not like how I got in other people. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's better for the league once you get the fucking roster right.
Yeah.
Because your play and your play style is not indicative of your record. And that kind of sucks for the league.
Yeah, there were two possessions. There were three actually. So it was fourth and one. I went for it, and I tried to fullback, and he stopped me. So I got a little bit out of character, but I was like, okay, I gotta be confident that I can get and convert these. So I went for it. You stopped me. They gave you a short field, but it was so early in the game that I was willing to take that risk. Yep. And then there was one pass. This dude named Cephas, he caught it. He caught the ball and dropped it. It was third down, and we didn't convert.
It was on a crossing route.
Oh, my God.
I think I remember that play.
Yeah.
I was like, how'd he get up?
Like that. Yeah, man. And then, yep. And then there was somebody else that called it up. So I had two big drops on third down that probably wouldn't have led to a win, but it would have
Shortened that gap.
Yeah, it would have shortened the gap and it would have shortened the game. And you never know. I mean, I managed to get one breakaway run because what I like playing against you and your defense after playing you the last time, I knew what to expect was how can I attack this run defense that he has and what plays can I call to kind of find some holes here or there. And I finally found one. I think I may have caught you in a different defense too, and I called the right play. And then another thing, this is what I'm talking about, discipline, was you made an adjustment in game to my pass defense where you started to started to run OBJ across the middle on those drag routes. He was going to beat this guy every time.
Yep.
And I had to live with that as much as I didn't like it.
But remember, I told you that I don't know who the hell that corner was because OBJ has like a, I would say definitely higher than like a 92 release rating. And when I was running, so there's a particular play out of Pistol Ace that I just love. For some reason, it has the defense flowing all one way, and then OBJ comes underneath on that drag, and it's wide the hell open.
Yep, every
and
time.
Every time I ran that, except for like once or twice, he jammed me up to the point where I'm waiting. He can't release, and I'm like, oh, shit. Because I was focused on just getting OBJ the ball because typically, you know, you got certain plays that I don't care what else is open. Yeah. I'm getting it to this guy. And when I called it, I felt like I called it on the right defense, but your DB was just
sticking to him.
Just sticking to him. So I couldn't. So you got a couple sacks off of those, and I'm like, damn, what the?
Yeah, I was who the sticking. Hell is this I was trying guy? To put Russ out the game, boy.
Man, I see you on that defense. Man, you on that defensive line. That's a problem.
Ooh, I was sticking his ass, man.
I get why you want to. I think you were saying, I don't know if you mastered it yet, but I get why you were trying to. Like, because.
Almost. I got that, and I'm adding a new wrinkle to it now. But I ain't going to say it just yet. That's going to take it to a whole other level.
So you know what that means then. You gotta either trade for free agency or whatever, a star D lineman.
Not really. I can get there, man.
No, I'm not saying that you can't.
Yeah.
But have you seen like the Ravens? I can't remember
Frank Clark. Yeah.
Is it Frank Clark?
Yeah. Talking about nigga number 92.
Yeah, bro. Can a half a second, bro. So when bro, you have
extractor. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so you know, like even if you don't use or that star guy. And you use her like the weaker player, he can get pressure, and then you could clean it up.
Yeah, because I
hate
that
motherfucker,
bro. Yeah, man. But yeah, I had to live with because like you said, it makes the defense flow this way, and then so at that point, I'm like, okay, just make the tackle, and if you can make the tackle, okay, now we're gonna play another down and play another down. You never know what's gonna happen, and then but I was like in my head thinking after the game, I was like, okay, I gotta. Like figure out why there's nobody over there, and what can I do to make sure that my defense isn't way over here and he got free release. But again, I had to. It's like, what do you want to take away? That's what it's like. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take away as much of the pass because he got elite receivers and specialists, and just try to deal with the run. And I gotta deal with OBJ. I'm gonna let OBJ get his, but Isabella can't let him get that seam route off the middle. Christian Kirk got one big play, that was about it. Yep. So if I can limit the damage of OBJ, then I like my chances. But like I said, I got to build up the rest of the roster, and we can talk about that later because I changed my strategy again. And then you know that's that. But I liked it because I think it was like 26 or something. Going into the fourth quarter, and then, of course, fourth quarter, everything just fell apart.
Yeah. But in that play, the one that we're talking about where the defense flows one way and then OBJ comes opposite, that was actually I called that play, and I have a certain read, right? Because in that game, you played a lot of single high safety. I want to say it was a 3-4 just because of the alignment. So when I called that play, you played a 3-4 single high safety and you played man. And the way I can tell when it's man is that both of my tight ends, everybody in that play goes to the left. Like on the offensive side, they all go this way. And OBJ is the only one that goes to the right. My tell is the linebacker. When the linebacker takes his read steps and he tries to cut with that corner route that one of my tight ends is running, that's what tells me is man-to-man. And when I'm in the red zone, I'm going to that tight end. So when I saw that and you had no safety help, I was like, touchdown.
Hunter Bryant.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yep. Yeah.
That was the first one. So I ran that play, and I run it if I'm way back on my own side and I run it in the red zone because there's certain tells in that play that allow me to figure out, okay, where I really want to go. But 9 times out of 10, I'm running that play for OBJ on the drag, especially against zone.
Oh.
So against zone, I love that play because I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a Madden glitch or something, but literally the whole defense just shifts this way and OBJ comes underneath on cover threes. It works really good on cover twos, depending if you're playing like a cover two buzz or you're playing a Tampa two. If you're playing a Tampa two, I'm a demolish it. If you're playing a buzz two with fast linebackers that can react, then I'm not going to get that many yards. But you played a cover. You played a man single high safety. And when I saw that linebacker on the tight end, I said, it's a wrap.
Because I think on that, I was hoping that I could get to you before you got the pass off, and I couldn't get to you. Because I know you're real good at reading zones and stuff, but I have to throw those in there to switch it up.
Well, you have to.
Yeah, I had to. So in the red zone, I try to shrink the field as much as possible and create pressure. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm trying to add something new because sometimes I can't always get there with the line. So, I think I got the base figured out of what I like to do.
Bet. So that takes care of my second user game. I had the Titans first, then I had the Lions can. Then I had the Ravens, which is my arch nemesis, and I would say probably one of the biggest rivalries in our Madden League. And, man, this game honestly came down to motherfucking turnovers.
We sound like a fucking bakery.
Man, bruh. Bruh. And then I also feel like this was a prototypical Saquon Barkley game in real life. -3, -2, 3-yard gain, 4-yard gain, 7-yard gain, 60-yard gain.
That's the thing that I was dealing with when I faced him was like, I thought I had, like, I got him on 4th and long or whatever. And somehow, some way, this slippery motherfucker, and I had Saquon, so I understand it, but I know what it's like to be on the business end of this motherfucker now.
Yeah, bro. And here's the thing. So he threw some wrinkles. So the last time I played him was in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I told him, if y'all watch me on Twitch, typically he'll call me right after and I'll keep recording so y'all can hear our conversation. And I told him last time, I said, look, bro, I know everything you're going to do now. So you need to switch it up. You need to run some more RPOs. You need to run some option play. Like you got to throw some more wrinkles because the wrinkles you have now, I know them. Mm. So come this game, he threw a couple RPO and he broke one.
Yeah, he does
and
that.
He broke one with Marquise Goodwin. No, not Marquise Goodwin.
Hollywood Brown.
And look, man, I love Denzel Ward. But without a fucking star or X Factor or some shit, he gets beat too much to be a 90-something corner. Now, he makes it up, and he made it back up in that game. But, man, when he ran that RPO the first time, I'm not going to lie, it had me fucked up because I was not anticipating that shit at all.
Because you committed to the run.
Committed to the run heavy. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I love running the defense that I do against him because since I use the safety, wherever he wants to go, I trust the rest of my front 10. And then I'm the last person to make that play. You know what I'm saying? I'm literally the last line of defense. So when I seen him flowing to that right, I'm like, oh, and then boom, he hit me with the pass and it was a wrap. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, I didn't anticipate that. And then I remember later on in the game, he tried to do an option play, but I sniffed that out. And then I started realizing when he wanted to do the RPO, I could see it. I could see it pre-snap. So toward the end, I want to say it was like the third quarter. Don't ask me what the time and score was. But I remember it was one of them that was an RPO. And I was like, okay, bet. I'm going to play the middle of this field. I'm going to try to bait him into throwing it. He ran that shit. He got, you know, a pretty good gain. It wasn't crazy. Later on, I want to say fast forward to the fourth quarter. I was like, okay. Denzel Ward, by this time he already had the interception on the RPO. I got the touchdown. I was back in the game. And in the fourth quarter, I knew it was going to be an RPO. I was like, let me not all the way 100% commit to the run. Let me take like a little half step so I could play the middle, but possibly play the outside. And I don't know how his old lineman did it, but he literally blocked my linebacker upfield. And then when I came with Grant Delpit to try to make that play, he nudged me just enough while engaged with a block with one of my linebackers to nudge me, and he got the edge. And it was like a 60. And at that point, I was like, okay, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. That game, I threw, I want to say, 3 interceptions. Two of them were me. One of them was like, what the fuck are you doing, Russell? Because it was one of my crossing routes. It's the play. It's a vertical play off of the bunch pistol formation. Mm-hmm. And I always switch the alignment. I put Christian Kirk on the outside. I put Andy in the middle. Andy's my fastest wide receiver, which is why I beat a lot of people over the top out of that formation. When I run it to the right side, OBJ is the short receiver, so he runs a crossing route. And typically it's open against zone, even worse against man, because not many corners could run with him, especially on the inside like that. But I read zone, and it was open, so I tried to lead him, you know what I'm saying, to the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Russ threw it high and just over. I literally just threw it to the DB. I'm like, what the fuck is this? So that game, man, if I could have just stopped, if I didn't throw no interceptions that game, I felt like I would have won that game, even with how many yards he rushed for that game. But, man, like, it was just – I'm not worried about the Ravens no more. You know what I'm saying? Like I've got him down pat. I'm not, even though I've only beat him once, I'm not worried about him. Now, the one I am worried about is the Chiefs. Obviously, we're going to get there. But, yeah, that was my game against the Ravens.
Hmm.
What about you, Nick? You had no more user games?
No, yeah, we just
– But did we talk about your Ravens experience?
Yeah, we did.
The last one. Mine was actually – well, just to go back to it a little bit, like, I like – like – the issue with me and how I – with my user game, because I haven't had a good record against the users this year. It's turnovers for one, of course, but it's also – though for me, is I need to get better at my one-on-one tackling. Because I'm always overthinking it sometimes, where, like, my pursuit, I'm always a little off on the tackle angle and stuff like that. And I usually don't like to do hit stick a lot, because hit stick, if you miss
– it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. The nigga gone. Yeah. So I'd rather have, like, at least wrap him up for, some, like, a gang tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to get better on my one-on-one tackling, because that's the key thing with the Ravens.
100%.
Because you're going to be on one-on-one, because everybody – because
he engages everybody.
Yeah.
His run scheme makes sure that it's 10-on-10 engaged. And that one free person – if you miss, it's a touchdown.
Mm.
So one thing that I started doing, I don't always do it, but you know how when you hit L2, they kind of strafe and they break down?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got to do. Now, what I need to test, and I haven't tested it yet, I'll do it when I go home and I play our this week's game, is I wonder if I can break down and hit stick. Because if I can do that, then I'm going to try to fuck his life up. Especially now that my rookie strong safety became a star. In that last game. Yeah. Mm. It's the crazy. Bro, he's rated lower than Grant Delpit, but he's a star. But it is what it is. I use their safety, so it don't matter which one. As long as I got somebody out here that can knock some heads off, I'm good. But, yeah, so use that L2 button. When he's coming to you, use that L2 button and then tackle. And then you'll be able to get that more secure tackle.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get better at my one-on-one tackling, because that's the main – like, even when, against the Titans, like, not it wasn't just the turnovers, it was that too. Yeah. Like, I could Derrick Henry, if
yeah, he's another beast in that game. Rat.
Yeah, he'll hurt you.
Did you have another user game, Ken?
I did, it was against the Niners.
Mm-hmm. How'd that
so,
go?
So that came after I got my first win of the season because players' morale was going low,
mm-hmm.
and it was against the Giants of all people, and we just struggled for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, well, at least we got that done. The monkey off our back. And then it was playing the 49ers. And I didn't know how it was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up winning. And it was an interesting game because defensively, like we were doing what we needed to do. Pressure off the line, forcing – because he loves to pass. He loves to pass. But the thing that I was worried about was his defense,
because
he has nothing but stars in that defense. So I was like, how am I going to be able to manifest offense? And I need to start passing more. I just got to live with the results of what Cunningham gives me.
Yeah.
So I was like, but I was able to run. I was like, okay, well, if I can run, I'm going to keep running. And I forced enough turnovers in order to get a lead. And I think it was one turnover I got where I got, you know, it's confidence. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. shit, well, all right. I think I got a lead. And then I'm like, okay, so my defense is playing well. He's going to get desperate, and mm-hmm. he's going to start passing. And I'm like, my secondary, they're going to give up some plays, but for the most part, they're going to make some plays. And as mm-hmm. long as I can do what I need to do mm-hmm. And force mistakes with Garoppolo, which I did, then I think I like our chances. Then we got the lead. It was 21-7. I was satisfied because we scored late. The problem was I let him score quick. Going into the half, and that was what caused me to worry a little bit. But wait, see, how did that go? So did I have a 14-0 lead, and then he cut it to 7 going into the half? He caught me with DK Metcalf. And what pissed me off was because, once again, my guy was there, the safety came over, reached his hand out, and the ball just went right through his hands. It should have been an interception. But whatever. So I was like, I live with it.
I hate that shit.
Yeah.
I had that with the Titans too, especially in the red zone. I knew the play. I read and I thought I had the pick. Mm-hmm. But the motherfucker dropped it. I'm like.
Yep. So I think I forced him into like 5 turnovers that game or something like that. And but.
That was a great game by you, by the way. That was a great game.
Yeah. And
I got to go back and watch it. I didn't watch it.
But just once again, sticking to those principles, because I knew that, you know, I tested him out with a couple of plays. I was like, okay, I could if I set it up right, I could get this play, and that's what I won the game with. But I had the lead, and then he started to kind of make some things happen on offense. Mm-hmm. And it was 4th and 2, and I was like, man, I want to go for it because I was like, my defense is playing well. I could probably stop him, but I said, I'm gonna stick to my philosophy, and I punted the ball.
Those are the decisions where. For me, I always like, what would Ken do? And I'm like, man, fuck that shit. I'm gonna go on this. But you're right, because like, especially for how you won that game, mm-hmm. it was because you stuck to that.
Yeah, I punted the ball, and I was like, okay, either we're gonna stop him or he's gonna tie it up, but at least I get the ball back. But I was like close to being able to kick a field goal to put it away. But he went down the field. I knew he was gonna go to the tight end, and my linebackers have trouble guarding the tight end because they're young. Mm-hmm. And he scored. It was 21-all. No, he went for 2, motherfucker.
That's how he got. He got the 2 with
the
Kittle.
Tight end again. Yeah, and I thought I tackled him. Like I was like, okay, this is brave, but I couldn't get to him. And there are a couple of defensive plays that I try to save, and I probably should have pulled it out then to get to him. But I thought if I played coverage. I didn't know if I wanted to play zone or man because we were doing good in man, but I think they started to break down in man coverage as the game went on, and he started to see the field. But I kept switching up on him anyway. But I was like, fuck it. I said, well, at least get the ball back, and I knew I had this play, and I had to set it up. So I set it up, I think, going to the make one run up the middle to make him pull him down, and then I hit him around that corner, and I almost broke it early in the game. But I knew if his angle was wrong and I could get around that corner, it was a wrap. And he got around that corner, 75 yards to the house. And I was like, again, that chess that you're talking about, mm-hmm. like saving certain things and just setting things up throughout the game and showing them one thing and then saving that one thing. And you, if it works, it's great. If it don't, then, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, so we took it to the house, and then that was it. And then it was just a matter of getting stops.
Mm. Man, you got that running with like what, 5 seconds left in the fucking game?
Yeah. But again, I like playing the users now. Even more. I've never had a problem playing with the users, but now I'm seeing more users. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've never played him before, but I just scouted early. I was like, okay, he loves to pass a lot with Garoppolo. I don't know why, but okay, that's a nightmare waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. So it was just a matter of just, you know, hopefully coming out with the win and just sticking to what I like to do. And that was hard. It was hard because I wanted another win, and I wanted to create a win streak, but at what cost? Because now I'm losing draft picks, but a draft spot. But you know, like you said, it's kind of good for the league, mm-hmm. and as well. So.
No, it is. I honestly believe it's better for the league for you to have more talent on your roster to be more competitive against the users.
Yeah, because like I was saying earlier, There was one play that I was in the red zone. I wanted to run it so bad. I was like, I know I could catch him with this play because he wouldn't expect it. But the throw, I just felt like it wouldn't get there.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, going just back a little bit, when I played you, I was like, he ain't going to fucking run the ball because you going to have to throw this shit. And I think after that first time you beat me, I was like, hell nah. Ken better throw this. If Ken is going to beat me, he better throw this damn ball. Because I was like, and especially now with this roster, I know that, you know, Cunningham isn't the greatest. You know, he's still developing. He brought him a long way so far. Yeah. But I'm like, now. Hell nah. Nah, he going to beat me.
Yeah.
Swift and your old line and that run game and your play call, that's not going to beat me no more.
I also made some changes. So remember I said the running wasn't there? I moved the players around into different positions, and now these holes are starting to be there, blocking a little bit better because they haven't necessarily improved much. They're still the same rating, but I was like, I just keep trying like different spots on the roster to see if they block and play at this position than the other, which is hard to really tell until you get in the game.
Yeah.
Well,
you just kind of have to look at so this is partly why I moved my left tackle from last year to my right guard, because his archetype was an agile left tackle. And when I looked at his speed and his agility, it's like, bro, you faster and more agile than my guards. And I knew, like, at left tackle, he was only decent. Like, he wasn't great. And now at right guard, I think he went from a 77 left tackle to an 82 right guard just by moving him.
Yeah.
So it definitely, you know what I'm saying, moving people around based off of their archetypes and run block versus pass block. Like, so your pass blockers, you want them to be your tackles. Your run blockers, you want them to be your guards because those are the ones that are pulling and moving and creating those holes that you're talking about.
That's what I did with Walter Little, my rookie. His archetype is agile. The scheme that I run calls for a right tackle that's agile. So I flipped him.
Yep.
I was like, let me put you over here.
Yep.
You know, if that's your archetype, you're going to play better. Now, I just did it, so I don't know. I have to see it. But he was getting destroyed on the left side.
Yep.
So I did that and made some changes on the defense. I keep moving defensive guys around because I really want my young guys to get some play.
I've been doing that too, and I feel like I'm going to have to do that again after this draft. Even though if I have someone higher rated, I just want a young person there that can get up there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got rid of Walker and got another safety who I've been looking at. So I got some draft assets in return for that.
She's finally starting to trade now and do all that?
I do trade, but I try to also avoid the cap penalties too, now that we get penalized for that. Because I wanted to move Collins. So the reason why I called you, because it never went through and I don't think he had the money for it. I got an offer for Collins in exchange for a young tackle and a first round pick, a high first round pick that was like eighth or ninth. That's so I was like, bet, take this. Yeah. I accepted that, but it didn't go through.
Mm. Yeah, what I realized is like I'm looking at all these other teams and I'm realizing they are heavily in the penalty with cap space. Like even the teams like CPU teams that you would
nobody can make a move.
You can't trade unless you're giving up and taking on
or
that.
Just moving draft picks.
Exactly. And it's just like, or just moving draft picks. But even then, you would have to give up.
I love it. Because everybody's like all in.
Yeah.
So now they're going to have to start to kind of, because I think in one of your streams, I heard Cliff talk about that. Like, he may have to start rebuilding, which is crazy. But he already got his ring, and now he's trying to get another one. But now he's like, damn, man, I might have to start rebuilding.
That ring is
gotta
a curse.
He got to pay a lot of people. Like, he still has to pay Lamar. He got to pay his left tackle, which is like a 94 or some shit. Like, he has a lot of highly rated players that he has to pay.
And people fucked up the other teams. They're negative. They have negative.
I tried to literally trade to get like more draft picks. I can't because like either I'm gonna take a bad trade, which is dumb, or I'm going to have to give up, you know, players that I didn't even think about giving up going
everybody's into trade locked. They can't make a move unless
and I'm still paying my players. Like I'm still like I'm lucky I had the cap space I have and I didn't get too much of a penalty with the trades that I did with you. Like I'm still paying I think I just got done with my offensive line, like re-signing them, those guys. And I'm having to pay like other, you know, depth as well. But it's like if I didn't have the cap space to do that shit, like I would be, my team would look drastically different.
Honestly, with my squad, I'm in a really good position. I re-signed Kawan Short, my defensive tackle that I traded for. He's rated 86. I traded two first round picks and either a second or third round pick to move up in this draft, because I know I'm going to have to replace certain players that are integral to my scheme. So I know I'm going to take a step down, but got to build back up at a cheaper cost. So I'm already kind of proactively making these moves, but at the same time, I know I have way more cap space than the negative cap space I went going into the previous offseason. And then all of my major guys are already signed, so I'm good. I don't really have worries there. But I do agree with you, Ken. Everybody is kind of locked into their roster right now, unless you want to make like a draft pick move to move up or, you know, down and, you know, load up next year or whatever the hell somebody wants to do with that. But in terms of player movement, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. I check transactions. It'll be nothing. It'd be re-signs. Shit like that. And a computer be making moves.
My last one was like, I gave up my first round pick to get Will Fuller. Because I was trying to get a wide receiver anyway, because I'm tired of picking up them from free agency and them being old and complaining about more whatever.
More money.
Like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, nigga, you ain't shit. I want to just get somebody that's young and a solid deal. So
what I've noticed about users, I think this is a lot of Madden players, but I haven't played a lot of people, but everybody run the same plays.
Same fucking plays, man.
Everybody run the same damn plays. And it comes down to execution.
That's why, like, early on, I was like, I don't give a fuck if y'all watch my stream and watch the plays I pick. Stop the shit.
And what cemented that whole mentality, at least from stop the shit, is the Ravens. The Ravens has done.
You knew what he was going to do.
The Ravens doesn't give a fuck. And I like that, because it's like, he don't give a fuck. He going to win how he wins.
But my observation from that is that, again, talent on the roster, execution against whatever defense it was called. But it's like, all right, well, everybody's doing the same shit. Like, except I think even now I've seen enough of Falcons, like, you know, he has a base style, but he can go a little bit deeper into the playbook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But my takeaway from that is like, I want to go deeper into my playbook too, because there are so many different plays.
There's so many good plays.
Yeah, that I want to use. I could
definitely say this, Ken. Like, this season, more than any other season, I have 7 to 10 plays offensively that I run. Mm-hmm. And you got to be special than a motherfucker for me to deviate from that. Because, and part of that strategy is when I get to the playoffs and when I get closer to the end of the season, I don't have many more user games toward the end of the season. I just have one more. But when I get to them playoffs, you're going to think that you know what the fuck I want to do, and I'm going to hit you over the head with some other shit. Because there are plays that I love to run, but I just don't run because I don't want people to get accustomed to them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when I do throw it out, you're like, what the fuck was that?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, I am working on a playoff scheme that is based off of my regular season scheme, but I'm going to have between 3 to 5 extra plays that play off of what I do. So, there's one already. And I don't give a fuck. You got to stop it. But one of the plays that I love to run, it doesn't really work against like cover three match, but it works against cover threes, depending if they're using the safeties or not, or the linebackers. So it's a gun tight H. No. It's gun tight. And basically I got, three wide receivers out there, two of them to my left, a tight end close to the line on my right, and the other wide receiver outside of him. In that alignment, OBJ runs like a deep post from the left side. Andy Isabella is typically right there, left to OBJ, and he runs an out, like a slant out. And then the outside wide receiver runs a drag, and then the tight end runs a deep in. Mm-hmm. So everything's flowing to the left. 9 times out of 10, and I'm telling you because I show it on my Twitch anyway, I move OBJ from that left side to the right side. So now I got 3 wide receivers on his right side.
I've seen you do it.
You see me do it. The reason why I love this against cover 2 is because that post is so skinny that I can split the safety and keep him upfield. Like, he doesn't have to go across. I could keep him upfield, which is how I almost beat the Ravens last year. Remember, like, toward the end and, like, the third or fourth quarter, and I got that big play with OBJ? That was the play. There's a run out of that formation that I have yet to call. And every time I'm going in that formation, I'm like, call it FIFA. No, don't call it FIFA. Don't call it FIFA. Don't call it. Because that's going to be one of those base plays that I'm going to add to my playoff scheme, because I already know people are, they see, oh, OBJ's going in motion. He's going to go here. Nah, nigga, I'm going to start running off of this shit. Then I'm going to give you that play call. I'm not going to move OBJ, and then I'm going to run the play. And then I'm not going to move OBJ, then I'm going to run it again. And then I'm going to move OBJ, then I'm going to throw it to OBJ. So again, it's just something that I know I could stir into the pot. That's just a minor tweak, but I know it's going to fuck some people up. So
yeah.
I've already identified about three of them. There's about two or three more that I need to add to the base schemes to fuck people up in the playoffs. Cause I gotta win. I gotta make it to the Super Bowl this year, bro.
Yeah, I got two or three plays, pass plays in the single back formation that I can execute with a high percentage. But I just don't ever use them unless I need it.
Yeah, and I got to play like that too.
Yep. And then there's a couple more that I'm working on. One against cover two that splits that safety. It's like right in that damn window. So I'm working on the timing there, because you just got to time it right so the safety can't get up there and get there in time to get it. So sometimes I'm late, sometimes I'm early. So I'm trying to get the timing right. And then sometimes I'll make the throw, but I got a possession catch it so they can fall down. Mm-hmm. So I'm still working on that.
Yep.
And I think just the other thing that I mentioned earlier is I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my right guards. And I know because by the time we start, we'll be we'll record again. It'll be Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I think last night I was like, you know what? I'm just going to build everything up, and then I'm just going to drop the quarterback in there. I'm going to have the defense ready. I'm going to have the offensive players. And then I'm going to just drop that quarterback in there, and we're going to be ready to go. I think that'll be the last thing I get.
Are you talking about like a free agency quarterback or like your quarterback?
Free agency or draft, because there's two I'm looking at that I wouldn't mind having. And I'll tell you guys who it is, Sam Howell, and then the other guy is Jaden Daniels.
Well, I don't think no one's trying to get a QB but you. Going off of what you're saying, that was my strategy this season. Mm-hmm. Like last season, I built up my team. I still did some retooling in the draft. And then, of course, I drafted my QB. This season, I'm still going through some growing pains, even though Fields is now a superstar, or he has that I've activated that. But he's still not at an 80 yet, I don't think.
Damn, for real?
He's at a 78.
I'm about to catch you, bro.
Huh?
I'm about to catch you. I'm at 71.
You probably could, but because I can't. Well, not I can't. I'm still not comfortable with him leading the offense throwing-wise. I'm trying to get him more comfortable with the CPU games, but when I play a user game, my focus is I'm going to run the football because, again, like the pat, like I think FIFA, you pointed that out when I faced the Ravens. Like there were certain passing plays, like if I just got this first down, that takes a possession away from him because now I'm punting the ball because I'm conservative now when it comes to if it's fourth and anything more than fourth and three, I'm going to probably punt the ball because it's like I rather, you know, go on my defense than try to, you know, do something goofy, lose the fourth down, and then you're right there. Like I don't want to make it easy for you. But I'm trying to get him to at least the 85 before the end of the season, which I think I could. And that's why I'm talking shit now, because next season, that's when I'm going to compete for the title.
Yeah.
We'll be back after this quick break.
The following story takes place between late spring and early summer of last year, a period of time where I witnessed pure evil through the eyes of my favorite pop star.
Put down the gun, bro.
Turn off the goddamn cameras!
Stop this madness now, and we won't report you. Right, Eliza?
Yes, please.
I can't let them do this to you! Oh my God!
The stage is on fire!
Oh my God! Eliza! Eliza!
Eliza, you have to tell me what's going on, please. I want to help you, but I need to know what we're dealing with here.
She is not a well person, Shayna.
I can't do it anymore.
I don't know how to get out.
Vivid hallucinations that demonic forces are imprisoning her.
Something happened last night at the party.
How is this girl suddenly writing a hit single after hiding out for all these years?
Journalist Shayna Secco arrested for inciting a riot.
You saw this was going to happen, and you just stood there and let that girl fall to her death?
The divinity.
What's the divinity, Eliza?
I know it's dark in there, Eliza, but you must come to the light.
But just like any good story, nothing is as it seems. And once you know the truth, the world is never the same.
The Shadow Diaries from Studio 71 and Snarled Entertainment, starring Kara Hayward and Madeline Pesch, coming soon on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Greetings and salutations. My name is Colin Moriarty, a 20-year veteran of the gaming industry and co-host of the mega-popular Sacred Symbols, a PlayStation podcast, a weekly show I do with my good friend, YouTuber and comedian, Chris Raygun. Now, PlayStation has a 25-plus year heritage, but this year is going to be especially big for the brand, what with PlayStation 5 launching this fall. Our show, Sacred Symbols, delves into all you need to know about Sony's upcoming console, week in and week out. And we also give tons of love and attention to the current gen, too, including PlayStation 4, PlayStation VR, and yes indeed, our beloved PlayStation Vita. We dive into the news, the games, the rumors and speculation, and even the drama of the PlayStation ecosystem, and we do it each and every week, without fail, just for you. If you want to get expert PlayStation commentary and analysis with a heavy dose of humor and irreverence, consider subscribing to Sacred Symbols, a PlayStation podcast, available on podcast services everywhere. We'll keep you informed, give you some stuff to think about, and make you laugh, too. That's Sacred Symbols, a PlayStation podcast, on all major podcast services.
So, we'll leave the most embarrassing for last. My last user game was against the Ravens. Let's just say I put up them.
No, you said
Chiefs.
Ravens.
Oh, Chiefs, my bad. My last user game was against the Chiefs. I put up damn near 40 and lost by damn near 40. That's how bad this game was.
I gotta go rewatch.
I didn't even watch that.
Bro, so it started a lot like the Titans game. Interceptions, turnovers early. Even Foreign Hustle was in the chat and I was down 21-7 or 28-7 in the first quarter. And he was like, don't worry about it, you got enough time. And that's what I was telling myself too.
Shout out to Foreign Hustle. He be in all of
the
Adrian, both of them.
Yeah. Yep. So he was like, yeah, you got enough time. Literally, that was like what his last message, and
he'll give you some confidence, and he see this shit is done. He'll be like, all right, I'm out, boy. You see that one number go down?
Yep, this nigga trash.
I threw for 7 interceptions that game. A lot of it was scheme. Some of it was frustration. But for some reason. For some odd reason, late in the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter, I was able to move the ball where I could not move it at all. Run game, pass game, nothing. And then here's my thing. My thing, I feel like I'm super confident in that if you shut me down offensively when I'm playing offense and your defense is just that good, all right, cool. We can make this a defensive game and I'm going to play defense too. Hell no. Hell motherfucker. Yo, okay. So let me give the people a little bit of history, right? So me and the Chiefs, we go all the way back to Madden 20 when we were playing last year. And the last game that I played against him was to get to the AFC Championship game to play against the Ravens. That never happened because of the commissioner's error. With that being said, in that game against the Chiefs, I knew what he wanted to do. When you look at Tyreek Hill's average per catch, he's averaging damn near 50 yards a catch. Right? In 21.
Okay.
In 20, he was like 40-something, right? So him, McCall Hardman, he would just send people deep. So I was like, all right, cool. My linebacker's got enough speed, so I'm going to stay in a base 3-4 defense and cover 3 of them to death, and I'll just use my safeties for over-the-top shit. I'll never forget. In that playoff game, first play from scrimmage, interception. That's what he tried to do. He put Tyreek in the slot. I read that with Devin McCourty, and I picked him off. Fast forward, Madden 21. Every time I even said it, when you go back and watch the Twitch stream, I was like, damn, I think I'm going to stay my base defense. Bruh. I played a cover 3. I don't know how this gap was so open, but he put Tyreek on a damn streak, and it was a wrap. And I'm talking about I couldn't recover. All my linebackers are 89 speed or higher, all of them.
I didn't know that.
Bruh. And
it goes to that point that you mentioned to me earlier when we were first reviewing the game. You were mm-hmm. like, yeah, bro, defensively, like, if you're not in pursuit or whatever, like, mm-hmm. it's not like how 20 was where you can yeah. recover easily. Yeah.
Nah,
it's
no.
a wrap.
It's a wrap. And that first play, I was like, oh, shit.
Where was the safety?
I was, you know, I played.
Oh, that's right.
I couldn't.
Right.
I couldn't eat up that space.
And you'll see. You'll see the play going, and you can't even get there.
I couldn't even get there. Like it. I don't know how the gap happened so big, but between where, because that linebacker plays like middle of the field, right, like 10 to 15 mm-hmm. yards deep, and that gap taking anything across the middle. So when he ran past him, I'm like, oh, shit, okay, Tyreek's there. I'm with, I want to say it was Grant Delpit on that one, and I tried, it was a wrap. He just threw it over the top. And then, you know, Mahomes, shit,
he can throw it
throw that shit anywhere he want to. So I was like, okay, bet. No more base defense, right? So when I started going to 3-3-5 nickel, my 2-4-5 A gap, he just started running the ball. And I couldn't do shit. And then what made me a little bit madder was that he signed a running back that I converted from wide receiver, Damian Ratley, last year when Nick Chubb got hurt. And I was running my two-back scheme with Kareem Hunt and Damian Ratley. So now he's using Damian Ratley against me. You know what I'm saying? So I feel a little disrespected on top of all of that. And I'm telling, like, if I ran a base defense, he went to pass. When I ran a pass defense, he went to run. And I had no answer. No fucking answer. And like that loss, even though I'll chalk it up, it is what it is. He won it 100%. It shouldn't have been that one-sided. And also, it's keeping me up because, you know, one of my coworkers watched it, and he was like, bro, I don't know what you're going to do, because every time I went to base defense to stop the run, he passed. And every time I went to stop the pass, he ran. And I was just like, I think what I'm going to have to, and I have to rewatch it for myself, because I have to see what happened. But I'm thinking right now that I'm going to have to pick one defense, one look the entire game, and I got to figure out what that look is going to be and stay in it and try to confuse him man versus zone. And that's it. Because what I realized against the Chiefs, it ain't like the Ravens. It is nothing. Like, remember how I've been talking about maybe I'm going to get rid of Denzel Ward? Mm-hmm. Well, shit, if I got to go against that, there's no way. There's no way. So now I'm just like, I got to figure it out. Like, he got, look, man, I'm hot. I'm flustered now. I'm babbling a little bit, because every time I start to think about that fucking game, I'm just like, I don't even care about the turnovers that I had. It's the defense. Like, he made me look like a beginner user on defense, bro.
Those are the ones that stick with you. Like, damn, I feel remedial as hell playing this damn game.
I knew you was a little quiet for the last couple of days.
Man, yeah, he had me in my feelings, man. Way
we mentioned that in the chat. So I was like, yeah, this chat been dead for the last couple of days. I was like, yeah, it's like we all off of some losses. Yeah. Man, Ken, when I tell you, man, this second half of my schedule,
you better get ramped
up. It's all used. I think I faced like pretty much the whole NFC West division.
Damn.
Because I did play M extra earlier, but I still have. Yeah, I got Seattle. I got the 49ers. I faced the Bills in like the next couple weeks. I got the Titans again, and I believe who else am I facing? I think I'm facing someone else, but I know I have like at least 6 or 7 user games, and that's all towards the end of my season. So it's like that depends on if I win the division or even get to the playoffs in general. So
these user games, they have changed the makeup of the league because people are losing to people, and that's that variable that you can't account for. Mm-hmm. So it's actually way more entertaining than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed it a lot
but
more.
I think FIFA's when FIFA, you mentioned like with Ken, like, oh yeah, like the void of talent is the reason why, you know, the league is what it is. What if, like, after we do 5 seasons of this, like, what if we all pick the – how many people are in the league now?
14.
14? Yeah. We pick the bottom half of the NFL, and we all start rebuilding, like,
No, hell no.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I mean, like, no, I mean, like, for, like, just think about it. Like, the way you did it with the line, like, yeah. It will show who really can be a GM.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. 100%. I had a friend invite me into a league where we're only picking bottom feeders. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And the whole gist of it is, see what you do now. You know what I'm saying? So my homie, he picked the Lions. I picked the Jags. I got another homie that picked the Redskins. And I think we're waiting on one or two more people to join that one. And yeah, man, like it's a different ball game. It makes you gotta be strategic. Like when you start with a good place, like a 49ers or even the Browns or the Ravens or something like that, it's minor tweaks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get guys that fit your play style. Like I got four guys that I always get: Christian Kirk, Andy Isabella, Troy Apke. Those are my three guys. Like they're cheap to get. You don't got to give up a lot to get them, and then you can develop those guys. So those are always my guys. But outside of that, like, it really comes down to what moves are you going to make? You know, typically bad teams have a lot of cap space. Are you going to eat that up? Are you going to develop people? Are you going to drop? Like, you know, so it 100% to your point, Nick, like, it does show the people that have a good GM hat. But then it's not just making the moves. You got to go out there on that field and perform too. Mm-hmm. You know, so you got to have that.
And that's what I want to see. I want to see that because we pillaged the NFL for the best teams, and then we even pillaged the bad teams for their picks and players. But let's see if can we do that with being the bad team. I would like to see that. I know it might not happen, but
I think it's always something that
it's a new challenge for us because I feel like us to do this again would be like
here's the thing, right? Like I think the beautiful thing that Dead End has always taught me that I'm always grateful for is that we make our own way.
Yeah.
So if this is, and I love the idea, you know, say like I said, I joined one that somebody offered me. Let's just create it.
Yeah.
What's there stopping us? You know what I'm saying? Let's just create it and, you know, cap it, you know, 17, 10 teams, something like that. And you can only get, if we get 10 people, the 10 worst teams in the league. That's what you pick from.
Building a team, that's the enjoyment I get out of games. I don't know. I like that hat. And I just wanted to do something different. In 20, I saw what everybody did. And I saw that it works, but that still can only be one winner. So I just was like, all right, well, I'll just do something different, you know, and work my way up.
So
and
you got the Lions blue on today.
I was going to say, you look.
And see what happens.
I was like, bro, he's been wearing blue a lot lately, too.
Yeah. And, you know, so, but yeah, like I play, I got the Ravens next, and I play Adrian. Mm. So,
the two homies.
Yep. Oh yeah, they are. So yeah, so I've played nothing but users, and I haven't looked at the rest of my schedule. But yeah, those are the two that I have coming up next. So
yeah, I got my CPU teams that's giving me a boost in experience for Justin. But I'm gonna have to let him. I'm gonna have to let him unleash.
Yeah.
And just because I hate turnovers. That's the thing, especially when it's like, I need to get this down. I need to get, like, but he has to learn somehow, some way. So I think moving forward, that's what it'll be for this season. But next season, starting at the top, yeah, I'm talking all this type of shit. I'm bubbling now. It's going to sizzle next season.
I ain't going to talk more shit until I see what my cap
situation
looks
like.
He
humble now.
Like.
Look at him. Look what you did to Ken.
Look, and I told Ken, I was like, yo, this is the biggest slice of humble pie I've in recent memory I can remember, bro, because I literally felt helpless. Like at first I'm like, oh yeah, you know, whatever, just hunker down, play my game. And the more and more I had to play defense against him, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
You end up trying some shit you ain't never tried before.
Yo, because I typically don't run quarters coverage, but it got to that point where I was running a 1-3-7, and I still couldn't stop him. I was like, okay. I gotta rewatch the stream. I gotta put my Belichick hat on.
Do any of you guys play Dom?
I do. It just depends. I prefer Nickel.
Okay.
I don't run Dollar. Cause here's the thing. I don't like not having linemen on the field to create some type of pressure.
Yeah.
I don't like that because smart users are just audible to a run play, and then you don't have no beef to combat that.
I feel like I need to. Play I've played it here and there, but it just gives away too many yards. So, but I feel like they're like, I want to dig into the playbook a little bit and pull some stuff out of there, because I'm starting to dig more into nickel and find some plays in there too.
I love nickel, big nickel. Dime is more of like, if I know you're passing, I have to know for a fact that you're going to have, like, if it's like 3rd and 20.
Mm-hmm.
So you play Kane, he going to run that shit. Shit, the Ravens might run that shit,
yeah,
too.
I would say the Ravens might run that, too. But, yeah, it's like people said, I like to have at least, like, two linebackers there. And I just need people spaced out. Because, like, with the common thread with all these offenses is that don't give anybody space. Like, you need to have somebody in an area.
In the vicinity.
Yeah. Somewhere, either for a game tackle or just because.
That happened against him. And I forgot what I dropped into, but I think I had you like 3rd and long or something like that. And he picked up a chunk of that shit and went 4th and 4. I think he got it. But I was like, what the fuck had just happened?
And that's my new method as well that I've gone back to, is the chunk plays. Like, I don't need a first down. I don't need a big play. I just need to get 5. If I consistently can get 4 to 5 yards every play, I will get a touchdown. So and that's the consistency that I'm trying to get to. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this season goes. This is probably going to be a very exciting season and how it plays out.
Yeah, I got to look at the record. Look at the
standings.
Standings, yeah. And see how people are doing.
Me and the Titans are fighting for that division spot. He's got the lead over me if we tie for right now. But, yeah, that second matchup for week 16 is going to be huge.
I think Ravens still undefeated.
Ravens and Chiefs are.
Damn.
So, and then I think they're the next game if they haven't played already.
Mm.
So somebody's going to come out of there with an L.
Yeah, Adrian about to play Titans? Because he was just talking about it. And Spike plays the Falcons.
Well, they got somebody. Well, the week about to be over because we on a, what, 48-hour period now.
Wait, when we advancing? What's the time?
Monday at 1:30.
Yeah. So I'm going to play my game as soon as I get
They got to play tonight.
Yeah, let me test Cliff now. See, because I know he has a weird schedule.
You got Cliff's number?
Yeah.
Okay.
Send it to me.
But yeah, I guess that's a wrap for another episode of The League. I was your host, FIFA 24/7. I had Mr. AKA and Mr. Dead End himself. Look, man, follow us on Twitch. I'm pretty sure that wherever you are or wherever you're listening to this, it's going to be in some type of description or something like that. Or just follow us on social media. You'll be able to get all of that information. We out, man. Peace.
Peace.